everybody, and that's a wrap for the Recorded History of Jazz, Volume 35. Next time we'll hear...
Coming up next, it's Minnesota Mixtape with Malachi Coons. This is Independent 91.7 KEXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KEXE.org.
Welcome to Minnesota Mixtape, a weekly spotlight on the Minnesota music scene. I'm your host, Malachi Coons. Coming up today, we're going dumpster diving with Brennan Lee, visiting a coal miner's daughter with Ross Thorne, studying Atmosphere's hip-hop addiction, and making wrong turns with Young Dervish, plus songs from Brother Jack McDuff, Laura Hugo, Low, Obie Original, and more. It's Minnesota Mixtape, made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and produced at KAXE, an independent and people-powered community radio station broadcasting from the north bank of the Mississippi River. Starting things off today with new music from an artist called Runo Plum, an indie singer-songwriter with a knack for cleverly written, sweetly melancholic songs. COVID knocked me on my ass last week, so her latest song, Sickness, has been hitting extra hard. Take a listen.
Just make it stop. I could tell the whole world to get. close to the edge. I'm at the end of my rope. The rope is starting to thread. I'm trying to keep my hold. You say I'm something I'm not, but I'm not what I seem. Get my back up. Drive.
jangle pop straight out of the early 80s and college radio. That is Field Hospitals, a Minnesota band who draw inspiration from groups like the Feelies, Go-Betweens, and The Clean. You just heard Sister Jane on Minnesota Mixtape, and it followed Lowe's Just Make It Stop. I'm your host, Malachi Coons. Polisa will be releasing their 7th album this October called Dreams Go, with features from Papa Mbe, Simon, and Andrew Broder. If the first single is anything to go by, we are in for a treat. Here it is on Minnesota Mixtape.
Oh,
The Life of the Party, Not Something to Be for Junior Thomas. That song digging into his struggles with alcohol and the party scene. It is his latest collaboration with Eraserhood Sound. Their first full album together arrives later this month. We'll be right back after this message on Minnesota Mixtape.
Listeners know how important it is to support stations like KAXE KBXE.
Anyone who can, be sure to donate, because as all of us know, we listen to this Green Cheese and all the other programming on the stations. We really, really love it and don't want anything to happen to it, so it's really important to give what you can.
One thing I wanted to do is I wanted to talk to everybody out there. Radio is important when it's unique and it's interesting and it's local, and given your current funding situation, everybody out there should be doing something about that, no matter how little it is. If everybody did something, it makes a tremendous difference. Think about Saturday nights with no green cheese. That sounds terrible.
It would be so boring.
This is the queen, and I'm going to make an edict. All cheeses, get your checkbooks out and send in some money to our favorite station and show, and my check will be in the mail tomorrow.
Donate now at KAXE.org.
Join us Saturday, September 6th for Grand Rapids River Fest. I'm Jennifer Barr, and I am so excited for this year's lineup. Music starts at 3 o'clock with Alan Sparhawk, a prolific and versatile musician best known as the frontman of Low. His many side projects over the years reveal a musician unafraid to experiment. Then we'll hear Jeremy Albino. His songs are grounded in the gritty storytelling of classic country music, propelled by the rhythms of old school R&B. And then Margot Price. She has something to say, but nothing to prove. And in just a few solo albums, she has cemented herself as a force in Americana music. We'll end our night with Courtney Barnett, one of Australia's most successful musical exports. She has played many festivals around the world, including Coachella, Bonnaroo, Lollapalooza, and now Grand Rapids River Fest. Find tickets and more info at GrandRapidsRiverFest.com. See you September 6th.
You're listening to Minnesota Mixtape here on People Powered Radio, KAXE. I'm Kari Headland. Hope to see you out today at Grand Rapids River Fest. Just getting going along just behind the Grand Rapids Area Library next to KAXE. Tickets are still available at the door. And in case you missed that memo, we've decided to keep the ticket prices the same today, so there will not be an increase in prices. So hopefully we'll see you there. We received support from Bemidji Brewing, announcing the release of the Full Stinger Variety Pack featuring the Blood Orange IPA and Lemon Drop Blonde, available in liquor stores now. Bemidji Beer, nice catch. And we received support from the Green Heron Bed and Breakfast, a four-season B&B on Pekegama Lake, featuring home-cooked meals and all the amenities for a family vacation. More information at greenheronbnb.com. You're listening to Minnesota Mixtape on KAXE, People Powered Radio. Thanks for listening. Now, a message paid for by the Minnesota Department of Health. Sometimes you just need to talk about it, but it can be hard to find someone who really listens. That's why there's 988 with support that meets you where you are. Confidential and staffed by trained folks who want to help when you need someone to talk to. Call or text 988 or chat online at 988lifeline.org. And we receive support from the Lake Country Journal, a local lifestyle magazine, sharing stories about places to go, things to do, and people to know in Lake Country. More at lakecountryjournal.com. Also want to thank Lakeland PBS, offering 24/7 PBS Kids programming, the PBS Kids video app, educational resources for teachers, parents, and more at lptv.org. And we receive support from the Bush Foundation, accepting applications for the 2026 Bush Fellowship September 2nd through noon, October 7th. Visit bushfoundation.org.
swim like a fish in the sea all the time. But if that's what it takes to be free, I don't mind. Still moving me. Still moving me. It's hard to explain how I feel. It won't go in words, but I know that it's real. I can be moving or I can be still. But still moving me. Still moving me. La 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 la. It's hard to explain how I feel. It won't go in words, but I know that it's real. I can be moving or I can be still. But still moving to me. Still moving to me.
Just before 5 o'clock. Good morning. You're listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are People Powered Radio in Northern Minnesota. You can join us at KAXE.org. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Barr. Up next, Milk Street Radio, 6 o'clock on the media and 7 o'clock weekend edition from National Public Radio. Taking a look at our weather today, partly sunny, highs in the upper 50s to low 60s with winds from the northwest 5 to 20. Partly cloudy overnight, lows 35 to 40, and tomorrow mostly sunny and a bit warmer, highs 60 to 64. Looking ahead to Monday, mostly sunny and warmer still with highs in the upper 60s. The Clearwater County History Center in Shevlin invites you to an open house for National Grandparents Day tomorrow from 1 to 4. Enjoy a car show, wagon rides, and refreshments. It is time for Milk Street Radio.
I'm Christopher Kimball from Milk Street Radio. This week we meet the chef who cooks with trees. But not all of Nature's Bounty tastes as good as it looks.
They have a very unmistakable odor. A boy's dorm room, I guess you could say.
How to cook and eat a tree, that's coming up this week on Milk Street Radio from PRX. I'm Christopher Kimball, and this is Milk Street Radio. Justin Davies has walked past thousands of trees in the mountains of Utah, but he never thought about eating one, until he stopped in front of a spruce with bright green tips.
And I pluck one off and pop it in my mouth, and I'm really blown away by the flavor of it. I didn't expect a spruce tree to have a bright, lemony, sour flavor. That was not what I would have expected to come out of that.
Now, you can pickle spruce tips, you can make infusions, but Justin also started to wonder what it might be like to just eat wood.
I'm cutting into this piece of wood. It smells really interesting. I wonder what this might taste like as ice cream.
Today, Justin reveals the trees that make the best desserts and the worst.
They have a very unmistakable odor. A boy's dorm room, I guess you could say.
How to Eat a Tree, that's coming up on Milk Street Radio from PRX after the news.
Now's your chance to see one of the most acclaimed indie rock artists of the past 20 years at Grand Rapids Urfest, going on Saturday, September 6th. In addition to Courtney Barnett, you'll get to see Alan Sparhawk, Jeremy Albino, and Margo Price.
Don't let the bastards get you down. Don't sell your heart to no business man.
You can get your tickets for Grand Rapids Riverfest at grandrapidsriverfest.com. You won't want to miss one of the biggest concert nights in northern Minnesota this year.
This is Mill Street Radio from PRX, and I'm your host, Christopher Kimball. Today, we're wandering into the woods in search of dessert. Justin Davies has made a name for himself as a forager who can turn cedar into ice cream and oak into cookies. Plus, later in the show, Lydia Bastianich makes her return to the phone lines. She's ready to answer all of your Italian cooking questions. She'll even share her philosophical take on pesto.
You know, use your senses. Use your olfactory. When you're buying basil, put it to your nose. You know, you have a great machine there that will tell you.
But first, we're getting a taste of Vietnam. Chef Anaïs Cayau Van Manen joins me now. For her upcoming cookbook, she traveled across the country to experience the full range of Vietnamese cooking. Anaïs, welcome to Milk Street.
Thank you for having me.
I've been to Vietnam briefly years ago, fell in love with everything about it, especially the food.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is you talk a lot about the North versus the South. So let's start with the North.
Yeah.
What's distinctive about the cooking of the North?
Well, I think, you know, it starts with the climate. The North has clearly four seasons. So obviously your ingredients will be different. And it's also, the way I see it, it's the cradle of Vietnamese culture, while the South has gone through a lot more transformation and it only has two seasons. Monsoon are really hot and dry. So I think a lot of food starts with the ingredients and the weather, where they come from.
So let's talk about some of the recipes. Like, I love recipes where the techniques are different because, you know, we're all bound by the rigid techniques we learned growing up. And mine were probably mostly French. There was one, you cook a chicken leg and you start by taking a knife and cutting slits in the skin. And then you let it sit in hot boiling water for 5 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to just take us through that recipe a little bit?
So I think you're talking about garrotti. So garrotti is actually a play on roasted chicken in French. Roti means roasted. But, you know, for a very long time, and still now, Vietnamese people, we don't really have ovens in our kitchen. We don't use ovens. We use live fire and gas. You know, now air fryer is the newest equipment. People would rather have an air fryer than oven. So This is their way of roasting a chicken. In Vietnam, we always blanch the meat first because that will remove the impurities by either poaching quickly in hot water or pouring boiling water on top of the chicken, you remove the scum. So then whenever you're cooking it, you will have less scum. So you'll make, for example, a clearer stock. And then when you slit the chicken, it's so that it could absorb more the marinade. And then you want to have the shallot and the garlic to flavor your oil while you fry the chicken. But then you want to remove them because you don't want them to burn.
Right.
And then for me, one of my favorite ingredients in Vietnamese cuisine is coconut water. We have so much coconut water here. And so we use it in everything. So then you use that sweetness, the natural sugar from your coconut and your soy to reduce and glaze your chicken so that by the time your chicken is done, it melts in your mouth and it has that sweet and salty texture, gooey caramelization on top of it. It's really good with rice, plain rice.
It really caught my attention. The other one I really loved, the sticky rice with fresh corn and coconut milk.
Ooh, simple, but so good, right?
Rice paper salad. I've never heard of this. Sue, you want to explain this to me?
So one of the ingredients, I think, that makes really Vietnamese food Vietnamese is banh chiang, rice paper. We use it to wrap. We grill it so it becomes crispy, and then we use it to dip. And so for this particular dish, I think you're talking about banh chiang chon. So this is like a classic snack. It's very simple. So rice paper, dry, is pretty dry, right? But then if you mix it with a nice sauce, which is in the book, and a bunch of different things like mango for acidity, hot mint, rau ram, or Vietnamese coriander for like that punch of freshness, peanuts, and all this thing, the rice paper absorb the sauce and suddenly it becomes a little bit more chewy. And then you go into this texture play in your mouth and you have dried beef to go with it, spicy dried beef, bok kho, like beef jerky, Vietnamese beef jerky. And if you go to in front of a school at 4 p.m., you'll see loads of ladies selling those. And the fun part of it is that you can actually ask them to put whatever you want inside it. And you put it in a plastic bag and you just shake it. Mm. And then you eat it. And it's super easy to share with people or to eat it on the street, you know?
So you've lived in lots of places, Paris, London, Bogota, Brussels, etc. So what did you learn about cooking outside of Vietnam you think was actually pretty valuable even when cooking back in Vietnam?
I think the best part of food is that it's always evolving, right? When I came back here, I brought what I learned from French cooking, but then I apply it to Vietnamese flavor. For example, I would do like a bœuf bourguignon, but then I would infuse it with flavors that remind me of Vietnamese bò kho. And then I would serve, instead of serving this bœuf bourguignon on its own like this, I would then serve it with a really fresh herb salad on top of it. Hmm. And with rice that's been flavored with like basil butter and not just plain butter. So I think as we travel more and as we learn more about different culture, we realize that, yes, there are boundaries, but the fun part of food is to be able to combine things and to be playful, but as well as respectful of other people's culture.
So you visited the north of Vietnam and, among other things, tasted some fried tree worms, which you actually liked. Could you just describe that?
Yeah. So while I was in the north, I learned from the villages that back in the days, you know, if you're raising pig or a buffalo, you want to keep it for special occasion because you didn't really have a place to store it. So their main protein were smaller animals like chicken, or during autumn, it would be bamboo tree worms. So you would knock onto the bamboo tree to figure out if it would be hollow and then cut down the tree, take those worm out and then just fry it in oil and lime leaves.
You knock on it.
Yeah.
To see if it's hollow.
Yeah.
Cut the stalk down and then it has worms in it.
It has to be hollow. That's the thing.
Right.
Because if it's hollow, that means that the worm went inside
and ate
it. And you know, you make a sound. It's like, you know, if you have like a wall with nothing behind, it makes a different sound.
Right.
And actually, it's really delicious because it's crispy and it's a really good protein replacement, you know?
Well, you know, my experience is you can fry anything.
Yeah, I agree.
It tastes good.
If you don't know what to do with it, just fry it.
There's a folk song which I'd like you to translate for me. I mean, it's in English, but the chicken squawks in the lemon leaves, the pig grunts, buy me some green onions, the dog cries sitting and standing, grandma, go to the market and buy me some galangal. What is that folk song?
So my middle name is Kayao, and Kayao in Vietnamese means folk song. Hmm. And These folk songs were passed on from my great-grandmother to my mom to teach her the way to cook and as well for the way you pair food. So in this proverb, the chicken goes with lime leaves. We always pair chicken with lime leaves. And you have kaya for everything, for the way you behave and as well for the way to live life.
Anais, thank you. It's been a real pleasure. Love the book, and I can't wait to get cooking. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, and I hope we get to meet and cook together one day.
Hopefully. Thank you so much.
It's been great.
That was Anais Kayao van Manen. Her upcoming book is Vietnam, the Cookbook. This is Milk Street Radio. I'm your host, Christopher Kimball. Right now, Lydia Bastianich is back. She's returned as our guest co-host to take more of your Italian cooking calls. Lydia, by the way, is a restaurateur, cookbook author, also host of Lydia's Kitchen on public television. Hello, Lydia. Thanks so much for being with us again here on Milk Street.
Oh, my pleasure being here.
Before we get to the calls, I do have a question. Now, I was in Rome a while back, and I was in a restaurant, and we made rabbit cacciatore. Now, white wine, lots of vinegar, I mean, a whole bunch of it, rosemary, garlic, it was great. Now, a lot of cookbooks, when you look up chicken cacciatore, it's, you know, hunter's chicken with tomato, et cetera. But I don't think it was originally tomato-based, right?
I love rabbits, so I'm glad you're asking me this. No, it doesn't have to be tomatoes. You know, tomatoes only came to Italy after the discovery of America. So what did those Romans eat? What did, you know, they ate coniglio in bianco, in white. Vinegar they right. used, wine they used, absolutely. But right. rabbit, my grandmother, when I was a young child, you know, after World War II, she had all the foods around the courtyard. We had chickens, we had ducks, we had two pigs, and we had rabbits. And I would go out and forage for clover for the rabbits because they love clover. Then Sunday came and one would end up in the pot. And it was usually lots of rosemary, garlic, onions too, and vinegar. Absolutely. It was in a kind of white sauce right. that turned out a little bit brownish. Although now the addition of tomato paste is common in my area, in the north area. Not so much a lot of tomato. But you know, cacciatore. Cacciatore means a hunter. So it just means any animal that the hunter caught right. made in his style, whatever the style, whatever they had around the house, whatever herbs they have, rosemary, bay leaves or whatever, I think that's what really cacciatore means.
Yeah, I just thought the vinegar, rosemary, garlic, white wine version was so much better and goes really well with game, right? Because you want something
yeah.
that's, you know, a little acidic to go with a darker meat. And much better than, like, at restaurants sometimes.
Yeah.
It's kind of almost a sweet sauce with sweet peppers and tomatoes, and I just don't think it's as good. But anyway, that was just my opinion.
Right, right. I like it in its natural sauces with vinegar. You know, now, rabbit meat is lean meat. And it's,
yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah, it's lean meat and it absorbs in the acidity of the vinegar and whatever. So it gives it a lot of flavor. So we have to get rabbit on the menu more.
Yeah, I rabbit hunt every winter and we have a big game dinner. And I absolutely agree. So let's take a few calls.
Welcome to Milk Street. Who's calling?
Hi, my name's Sam.
Hi, Sam. Where are you, Sam?
I'm calling from Spain, although I am a British, Australian, American, mongrel.
I hear a little accent there. I was wondering. Well, welcome, welcome. What is your question?
I've been making a lot of fresh pasta recently, and anytime you make fresh pasta, you end up using a lot of extra egg yolk. So I have all of this extra egg white left over because I'm using the egg yolk. I've tried a few dessert recipes and things here and there, and I'd love to know a few more recipes and good uses for this egg white. I know I can freeze it, but I guess I'm wondering if there's anything that maybe I haven't thought of outside the typical kind of meringue and, you know, almond Italian desserts I can't remember the name of.
Oh, Sam, absolutely. There's so many things you can do with egg whites. You know, if we go to Italians, you know, we make torrone, we make brutti ma buoni cookies, those wonderful cookies that are very crunchy with whole hazelnuts in there. And they're so simple, just egg whites whipped, a little bit of sugar, and you fold in the toasted hazelnuts, and it's delicious. Meringue cookies, pies, an almond pie down in Puglia, you know, you make like a regular crust and then you make a meringue and you put toasted almonds in there, just a little bit of flour to give it some body, and you have this meringue pie, which is delicious. So meringue frittata, you know, all egg white frittata, by all means, with all the vegetables. You can also whip the egg whites and toss them in a stock, you know, like stracciatella. Stracciatella uses the whole egg. But, you know, some people are conscious about it and they like the egg whites. Whipping the egg whites with some spinach, some cheese, grated cheese in a good stock, and you have yourself an egg white stracciatella. But, you know, in making dough, the region of Italy that is really the epicenter of dough is Bologna, the city. So Emilia-Romagna. And they make a dough, which is the supposedly supreme of pasta dough, is egg yolks and flour. As much as flour that the egg yolks will take. And that's the whole answer. You don't need anything else in there. And it's very rich. But I prefer, I like whole eggs. The egg yolks dough, it breaks. You know, you can't very well make a lot of stuffed ravioli, or you cannot roll it out as easy as you can. So using the whole eggs in making pasta is what I would recommend. So you don't have that much of egg whites left. Chris, do you have any addition to that?
I do. It's really obvious, which is angel food cake, but with a twist. I think it was Nancy Silverton who told me this, but she said when she makes angel food cake, she doesn't use an ungreased tube pan. She greases it. And obviously when it bakes, it doesn't climb all the way to the top and holds. It collapses on itself. So you get an angel food cake that's squatter, but has much more interesting texture.
Wow.
So that's something, if you have extra egg whites, you ought to give it a shot.
Sam, I have another idea for egg whites and dessert. You make piles of meringue, like little rounds of meringue, on parchment paper, and you bake it till it's nice and crisp. And then, especially when the fruit is in season, I had it with apricots. So poached apricots and plain whipped cream, and you layer it. You layer the meringue, nice, some whipped cream, some poached apricots, some meringue on top, and the meringue acts like the layer cake in between, and it is delicious.
And marshmallows, I just ought to mention. I've got a couple young kids running around, and that would be probably my highest use for egg whites.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for so many ideas. I absolutely love the podcast, and I really appreciate everything, and very excited to try things out and let you guys know how it goes.
Pleasure.
Bye,
Thanks
Sam.
For calling.
Thanks, bye.
Lydia, I have this thing about egg whites, which is, unless it's savory, I always add some sugar to them because you get a much creamier, more stable foam. Do you always do that?
No, you know, cream of tartar is what I usually use if I'm going to make a dessert or something, of course, sugar. But otherwise, I put a little tartar.
I find if you beat egg whites without either lemon juice, cream of tartar, or sugar, they're thin and foamy and they easily fall apart on you, right?
So again, you know, those cell, the incorporate the air in it, and they, under heat, they sort of pop open and it falls down. That's what happens to a cake that falls down. So if you add either the sugar or the little bit of lemon or the cream of tartar, keeps that kind of bubble of air stronger. You know, sometimes, and you know that, Chris, when you do things, cooking is a lot about common sense and the feel at the moment. So, you know, you feel, okay, the egg whites are at the right moment. I like them like this. I'm going to add them. And you just do it. So, yeah, that works.
Just do it. There you go. I totally agree. You're listening to Milk Street Radio. Special thanks to Lydia for joining me on the phone lines. She'll be back later in the show. Coming up next, how to eat a forest. Hey, Milk Street Radio listeners. For this year's Thanksgiving episode, Dominique Ancel is joining me to solve your biggest Thanksgiving baking questions. If you need new recipes, new inspiration, or maybe a pie-making tutorial, email us at questions@milkstreetradio.com. Again, please send your Thanksgiving baking questions to questions@milkstreetradio.com, and we'll be in touch. Thank you.
Coming up September 6th, we are so excited for Grand Rapids River Fest. Opening up will be Alan Sparhawk, who recently talked with Kari Hedlund about his new album with Trampled by Turtles.
I remember the time going like, man, I can't tell if this is any good. I'm questioning myself a lot here, but I don't know. There was a little bit of obligation, I think, because those guys had made room for me.